it.
Steve Chrislow, ladies and gentlemen.
What's happened to the radio doing?
Well, after that introduction, what can I say? Should I change my voice and speak down here? Or do I do? I don't know what I do. But anyway, lovely to be with you, and great to see you, and I'll get to you afterwards. Okay. A little bit of history behind what I'm saying this morning. I was asked to go to a church not that long ago, and sometimes you're asked to speak on a particular passage, and you don't get to choose your passage, you understand me? Well, you could, I mean, you could probably do something else, but they want you to speak on that. And that's quite a test sometimes, because actually, you know, you may not have chosen that passage to speak about. You may not want to speak about that passage. And there can be a reason for that, because the Word of God examines your heart. You notice that? The Word of God examines your heart. And sometimes you'd like to say, I'll speak on anything else, but not that passage. Okay. Well, what happened was, after I'd given that talk, I brought home my notes, and I tore them in two to put them in the waste paper bin. And as I did that, I felt God say, no, don't do that. So I got my notes back and put them on my shelf where I could find them again. And I thought, well, you know, whatever else, I don't want to preach on that again, okay? I really don't want to. Thank you very much, Lord, but I don't want to preach on that again. And then as I was walking around, I'd gone a walk in the mornings, I was walking around and walking through the forest, my mind was clear. And suddenly I felt God say, actually, I want you to preach on that again. And I thought, oh wow, I really don't want to. But God, you are God. Mm-hmm. You're in charge. I'm not in charge, you're in charge, God. My life is yours, my mouth is yours. And if you want me to preach on that, then I will preach on it. And so, I'm sorry, guys, but you're going to get it, okay? Anyway, let me read that passage, first of all, because it is from Hebrews. It's Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 25 to 29. And it's called the Unshaken Kingdom. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Hands up if you can remember when you last heard a talk on the subject of our God is a consuming fire. No hands. I'm not surprised. You see, we like certain passages from the Bible and we kind of want to avoid others because we're a bit trembling. And as I prepared this talk the first time, I could sense I was a little bit in fear and trembling. Because you see, we have to deal with the Word of God as the Word of God. And we cannot avoid difficult passages, and we can't avoid difficult themes because we don't want to preach on them. And sometimes, you see, God says, actually, my word is my word, And you will preach what I tell you to preach on. And so I think that's a little bit of the background to today. You see, Hebrews is in some ways a disturbing book. You read through Hebrews and you don't get in any way disturbed, then, you know, there might be something you need to have a chat about, because it is a disturbing book. It can be. Because you see, there are two groups of people clearly in view. There are those who have faith and obey. And in the Word of God, you cannot easily separate faith from obedience. If you have faith, true faith, you will obey. And if you're obeying, it's probably a sign that you've got faith. Faith and obedience go very, very closely together. But it's also in view of those who turn back and reject the Word of God. And that group of people is also in view. And you see, when Jesus is introduced by John the Baptist, it's said of him, he will bring his wheat into his barn, but he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. And you see, that ministry of Jesus is the same as the ministry of God, who is a consuming fire. You see, he will bring the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire, and we cannot escape that in the Word of God. And in the book of Hebrews, you see, you've got these two groups very clearly in focus. There's the group who will say, I'm trusting in God, I'm obeying God with all my heart and soul and strength. And there are others who say, I'm moving away. And you'll see there in the book of Hebrews that those who are moving away are going to shrink back and are destroyed. In Hebrews 10:39, it says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Again, the two groups. Shrink back, destroy, have faith, and are save your souls. But the reason I think sometimes we need to preach on these themes is to be absolutely sure in our hearts that we're in the right camp. And I'm hopeful today that we're all in the one camp. But the reason I believe God has put it on my heart is I just feel from God that I should preach this, because we've got to be sure that we're in that right camp. You see, the first group is what he's just talked about in Hebrews chapter 12, the passage before it. It says, you've come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Firstborn is a title of high honor. And God is saying to us who love him and serve him, we are very honored. We are very special. God is treating us the same as his son. And the book of Hebrews has said, we are brothers and sisters of Christ himself. What an amazing privilege. What a fantastic privilege this morning to sit in this place and say, actually, I am a son and daughter of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I'm a brother and sister of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a fantastic privilege. And we've come to a new city. We're specially honored. We've come to the judge of all through the blood of Christ. We're through a new and wonderful covenant. And that covenant is the covenant of forgiveness of sins through our precious Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. It's fantastic to know that we're a brother and sister of Christ. We're forgiven. We're blessed. And we have a beautiful relationship with our King in communion with the saints, both past and present. I don't fully understand what that communion of saints means. I think it means more than necessarily I've come to understand, but there's something beautiful about that. And the writer said, this is where you should be. But now he's also going back and saying, giving the warning, and basically saying, make sure that you're in that right camp. Make sure that your hope is fixed on our Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that you're one of the firstborn, specially honored, brother and sister of Christ, because that is where he wants us to be. But then he says this. He says, there is something here that is absolutely important. And he says, do not refuse him who is speaking. Do not refuse him who is speaking. And you see, we have a living God who speaks to us through the pages of this living word, but also speaks to us through the Holy Spirit who he's given to us. And the word of God says, make jolly sure you do not refuse him who is speaking. Because you see, even the people of Israel, they thought they were okay. They thought, I'm a child of Abraham. I don't need to worry. But God says about some of them, look, I've been holding out my hands all day long to a disobedient people. And you see, we have a living God. A living God who is full of love, but also full of holiness and full of justice, and a God who speaks. And we dare not in our lives refuse him who is speaking. And there were people he was writing this book of Hebrews to who had gone through a number of stages in their lives. If you look first of all, just briefly at Hebrews 2 verse 1, he talks about those who were drifting. They were drifting away from their hope in Christ. If you look a bit further at 3 verse 12, he talks about those who are now not just drifting away, but turning away. And then in chapter 6, he was talking about those who are crucifying the Son of God and subjecting him to public disgrace. In other words, committing the sin of apostasy, where they say, I no longer believe in Christ, I no longer want to have anything to do with Christ. I hope there's nobody here in that category this morning. And he says, I have believed better things for you in chapter 6, verse 9. But you see, he's basically saying, look, make sure that you're one of the people who is listening to what God is saying. Because God is a God who is speaking. He's the living God. He will speak to us through his word. He will speak to us through his spirit. And make jolly sure you don't refuse him who is speaking. Make jolly sure that you're listening. And then he gives a parallel from the Old Testament. He says, look, on the mountain of Sinai, you had the fire, you had the smoke, you had the earthquake. There was tremendous fire on that mountain, and his voice shook the earth then. His voice was powerful. The voice of God on Sinai was extremely powerful, and it shook the earth, and it shook. And the people said, don't let God speak to us. Don't let God speak to us directly. Moses, you speak to us. You be the intermediary. But don't let God speak to us, because it's terrifying when God speaks to us. And the writer is saying, look, if his voice shook the earth then actually, and he warned them on the earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. You see, the parallel there is this, that God is speaking on that mountaintop on Sinai, and he's saying, don't refuse to listen. But it's so terrifying, he says, let's get an intermediary. But now God is speaking in a different way. And several times, if you track through John 6, Jesus is talking and saying, I am the one who's come down from heaven. I've come down from heaven. I'm giving my life. My life is bread for the world. I'm coming down from heaven. And you see, Jesus is the living Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word became flesh. And the Word of God became flesh in Jesus Christ. You see, God said, in the mess of this world, in the mess it's in, I'm going to have to become flesh. And the Word became flesh. And the Word spoke out powerfully in those years. And what the writer is saying, well, look, if those who received the Word on Mount Sinai were judged when they refused that word, how much more will you be judged if you refuse the living word who is speaking now, which is Jesus? And you see, when Jesus talks to the people, he sometimes says some hard things. He says to them, you know, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works have been done in you, they've been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented years ago. And then he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and say, they would have repented a long time ago if the works had been done in them that have been done in you. What is God saying there? God is giving us a principle. And the principle is this, simply. The greater the revelation you have, the worse the consequences are if you don't obey it. You see, the people on Sinai and the people of Israel were judged because they refused to listen. But he's now saying, how much more is that judgment on those who hear the living word of our Lord Jesus Christ and refuse to listen? And that warning is given to believers. And he's saying, do not refuse to listen to what God is saying. And he's already said in this book, don't harden your hearts as they did in the wilderness. Don't harden your hearts against the living, powerful word of God. And we have that living, powerful word in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in our lives as believers, let me say this clearly. God is not really interested in how many words of knowledge we may have. He's not really interested in how many miracles we do. He's not really interested in how many signs we perform. But he is supremely interested in whether we do what he says. Okay? Supremely interested. Because God is saying, I am the living Almighty God. I've called you to do my word. I've called you to obey me. I've called you so that you will go into this world and make a difference because you're obeying me. And I believe that God is looking at our hearts and saying, are you truly obeying what I've called you to do? Some of the great people of God in the past have said, look, make sure you turn away from all sin in your lives, but also make sure you turn away from anything that's doubtful in your lives too. In other words, make a clean sheet with God. Say, God, I don't want anything in my life that will actually rob me of your purposes. Because as soon as we go into sin or things that are doubtful, it's robbing God. It's robbing God of what he wants to do in this world through our lives, okay? It's robbing him of his purposes. Because God has called you and he's called me that in this world of sin and pain, that we will bring the light and the life and the power of God into every part. That's why he's called us. He's called us so that he may live through us by his Holy Spirit. So that he might bring life and light into this world through his Spirit within us. And that is why it's absolutely vital in our lives that we must obey God. We must turn away from all sin and we must turn away from all doubtful. And then God will mightily, I believe, use us. You see, the Son always does, talking about Jesus, what he sees the Father doing. And God wants to give us such a close relationship with God the Father that we will see what God wants us to do and we will do it. And we will do what he tells us to do. And I found that even doing this talk today. I didn't want to preach on this. But I felt God say, I want you to. And you'll do what I want you to do. Because you see, God calls us to obedience. And then he talks about there being a shaking of the earth. And that comes in verse 26. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he's promised, saying, yet more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And that's taken from the book of Haggai. And it's a promise, and God is saying, I am going to shake all things. I'm going to shake all things. And there is a coming time of shaking. Because you see, this world will be shaken. And God talks about a new heaven and a new earth. And God is, as in the words of Tom Wright, is going to say, he's going to take his creation, as it were, by the scruff of the neck and make it at last what he always intended it to be. You see, if you look at creation today and you don't really look closely at what the Word of God says, you'll make mistakes in your thinking. Because if you read carefully Romans chapter 8, it talks about this creation. It has three words. It has futility, corruption, groaning. Futility, corruption, groaning. And that's why you see things are not the way that God intended them always to be. When you see sickness, you see pain, you see death, you see destruction, you see war, you see tsunamis, you see earthquakes, don't blame God. This is not the way that God wanted it to be. If you look closely at Genesis 3, you see, actually, when sin came in, corruption, futility, and groaning. And God is going to take this creation by the scruff of the neck and shake it and shake it, and out of it will come new creation, new order, new heavens, and new earth. And God is going to shake all things, all things. But what will endure that shaking? What will endure that shaking process? God says, you are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You see, what God has done in our lives is this, that when we truly gave our lives to Jesus, when we say, Jesus, I love you because of what you've done for me. I love you because of the cross. I love you because of your resurrection. I want to serve you. I want to please you. God says he transfers us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We become part of his kingdom. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. And we're living, if we're following Jesus, in that new kingdom. And what's of that new kingdom cannot be shaken because it's of God. You see, what God has done in your life through Christ, what God has done in your life through the Holy Spirit, that cannot be shaken. It's permanent. It's lasting because it's of God. It's of God. But all that's not of God, all that's second rate, all that's kind of not of him, that will be shaken. You see, there are things that are around that are second rate, they will be shaken. They will be shaken. And all that's not of Christ, I believe, will be shaken. But he says this, since you are receiving an unshakable kingdom, what you should do, what should be our attitude? Well, first of all, to show gratitude. Show gratitude. I sometimes go to a hostel for men with alcohol problems, and I remember saying to one guy, look, just be grateful for what God has done. It's a wonderful lesson in our lives just to spend a few minutes each day saying, Lord, I'm so grateful for what you've given. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for my kids. I'm grateful for the food I eat. I'm grateful for the house I live in. I'm grateful for the world I walk in. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what you've done. Wonderful lesson in Christian living. You know, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks. So he's saying, be grateful. Be grateful for what you've done. And then offer to God acceptable service. What is our acceptable service? Well, it tells us, in a sense, in Romans chapter 12. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What is our worship? Well, it's coming here on Sunday mornings. Yes, that's worship. But it's also giving our lives, giving every part of our lives, saying, God, have every part of me. Have everything that's in me. It belongs to you. You've won it through your death on Calvary. You've redeemed me back to yourself. Therefore, Lord, I want to give you everything, everything, everything in me. That's what our spiritual worship is, giving our bodies as living sacrifices, having in our hearts reverence and awe. The only word that is repeated in the Bible three times, one after the other, is the word holy. It says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And you see, if we're going to reverence God, then we need to deal with the reality of his holiness. And sometimes in our modern days, we can get trivial about sin. We can even become trivial about the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and the holy name of God. We can become trivial if we're not careful. And God is saying, you must worship me with reverence and awe. And then it says, because our God is a consuming fire. A consuming fire. And you see, one of the realities of our lives is we need to be jolly sure that we're in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that everybody here will know today that you're part of that kingdom and you're giving thanks to God for what he's done in your life through the Holy Spirit. But our God is also a consuming fire. And all that's not of him will be shaken. All that's not of Christ will be shaken. Jesus does bring the wheat into his barn, but he burns the chaff with unquenchable fire. What should that mean in our lives? What should it mean? What's the impact of what I'm saying this morning? Well, first of all, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. True repentance. Saying, God, I want to be rid of everything that does not speak of you. True, deep repentance in our lives. Saying to God, God, I want to be wholly obedient. Wholly obedient to everything you say. To everything you say. Not just some of it, but to everything you say, I want to be wholly obedient unto you. That's the life that God wants us to lead. Why? So that we do not lose any of what God has called us to do. That we do his will totally and bring life and light into this world. And for that reason, we need to be clear with God. Lord, let there be nothing in me that is does not speak of you. Let my life speak of you. Let there be nothing in me that is second rate. Let there be nothing in me that's trivial about the things of God. But let my life bring glory and honor to your name. And also this, we do need to remember that our God is a consuming fire. And therefore, with every part of our beings, with everything in us, we want to say, Lord, make me an ambassador for our Lord Jesus Christ to rescue people from that fire and to bring them into the light and the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much.